les Freedom Fiends. Nous transmettons du hangar 2A à 1,6 km au-dessus du niveau de la mer dans les studios de la prairie intergalactique. Nous modifions votre locus aurélius en réchauffant vos synapses avec nos ondes radio régénératives. Oh, votre matière grise à une délicieuse et réconfortante température de 100 degrés Celsius pour protéger votre tête contre les torrents d'étatisme qui font rage. Le ressentez-vous? Est-ce que ça fonctionne? Le ressentez-vous, Diana?
Oui, je le ressens!
Ben, are you with us? Est-ce que tu le ressens, Ben?
I'm here. I feel it.
Can you feel it?
I can feel it. This is the international version of Freedom Fiends. And I should mention
Freedom Fiends International.
Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIP. Caught no gov license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Read more or learn more at bipcot.org, bipcot.org. My name is Ben Stone, and with me, you just heard the beautiful voice of Christian, and also with me is Diana. Christian, thanks a ton for giving us that little glimpse of international flair in our intro.
Always a pleasure to be on the Fiends.
Meow. And if anyone doesn't know, Christian is French Canadian.
Yeah.
So none of those jokes about the French apply to Christian. He's a French Canadian. So anybody who's having come,
I'm French Canadian.
Yeah. Oh, hey, is that
I am?
You're part French Canadian.
It's Michael Dean.
Hey, Michael dropped in on us. Hey, Michael.
Did I miss the French intro?
You did.
You did.
We're gonna do it again.
It's a rainy day, man. It's a rainy day, and we got a fiend phone. Let's put on a show.
Heck yeah, let's
do it. You know what that's from? It's from we got a barn. Let's put on a show. You ever heard that?
Oh yeah, that's an old time.
It was an early Hollywood thing. Well, like predated Hollywood, you know, with like vaudeville, but you know, it's like kind of by the DIY, by the seat of your pants, like, you know, oh, we got a barn, let's put on a show, you know, but it was a phrase in early Hollywood too, before Hollywood was a business, like a huge industry, when it was still kind of like a bunch of independent studios. And Hollywood was actually like, it wasn't in Hollywood. It was kind of down where that UPS store is. That's where the first Hollywood studio was, you know? You know the one?
Wow.
By the entrance of the five?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there many times.
I have. It's where I used to UPS, like, you know, my movies when I was running my independent film studio in Echo Park. But yeah, man, we got a fiend phone. Let's put on a show. So basically,
that's right.
This is Michael Dean. I've been sick. I'm still kind of crunchy in the voice, but
You sound pretty sexy to me.
I'm feeling pretty sexy, man. I'm feeling good. So
say that in French.
I can't. I
can't say it in French because it's going to be a little weird.
I like when women. I like women who are comfortable enough in their relationships with their men to tell me that I am sexy while their husband's on the phone, or while their common-law husband's on the phone there.
Well, I have to admit that, like, last night I finally listened to my
old podcast from 2006.
I listened to one from 2012, or listened you to didn't listen to the old, 2012.
No, you didn't listen to the one that, like, you're not old enough to listen to, Diana.
Oh, I gotta, one.
I gotta send you guys this. You can listen to this on the break. Okay. You can listen to the 1 minute sample on the break and come back, and we can like baffle everyone with, like, they don't know what we're talking about, but they're just horrified. So we're on the radio, but I don't even care that we're on like 32 stations. All I care about, we could be on one station and I'd be happy, because all I really care about is that beam going up to the satellite that comes back down to the stations around America,
mm-hmm.
because that beam is going into space, man.
Alpha
we
Centauri.
We do it for the beam, man. This is
That's
all
right.
for the beam. Am all I coming through beam. Crunchy, or does it sound good?
No, you sound okay.
Good.
Yeah,
like
we
I
got
said,
a fiend
you sound
phone.
Sexy.
Let's
yeah.
put on a show. All right, so
sexy
I'll just
voice
shut
thing
up.
Going on.
Yeah, you guys go ahead. I'm just happy to be talking, man. I haven't been on the show much.
Happy to have you.
Yeah, I'm happy to be had. Thank you.
And you celebrated a birthday last week. Happy birthday.
Yeah, man. I was 51.
I'm 51.
Like the bacon, the 51 bacon in Breaking Bad. I'm catching up with Walt.
That's
Walt was 52
right.
when he died.
Yeah.
He was 51. He was Heisenberg already. So mm-hmm. I got it going on here.
I keep forgetting. Was he rich or was he poor again when he
At
died?
At 51? Oh, when he died,
he was rich.
He left money to his family. Right. But yeah, he left like $13 million. But when he
So the whole thing worked. That's
yeah,
awesome.
That was his goal,
I think
yeah.
at 51 he was broke again, but he quickly made it back to, you know,
yeah.
have like 78 million and ended up with 13 or something.
It is really telling in the final scene.
Which ain't too shabby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is really telling in the final scene when he actually dies and he's laying there on his back and the camera goes up to the ceiling looking down on him. And he's got this really peaceful, pleasant half smile on his face in his last moment.
Yeah.
Because he did
it. You know, that scene from the ceiling, it goes up to the ceiling and then you see the cops all coming in slowly with their guns drawn from the left. That's an homage. Nobody else is pointing this out. I totally am sure it's an homage to the second to last scene, to the climax scene in Taxi.
Oh, yeah, my Taxi. Gosh, you're right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, the last scene is the denouement. The last scene is, is you know, the letter that he's just like reading. He's in the hospital and he's reading the letter from the parents over voiceover. But the last scene, the climax scene, is the camera goes up in Taxi Driver. Camera goes up to the ceiling. And you see cops coming in from the left, four or five of them with guns drawn, cautiously coming in kind of semi-slow motion. It's the same scene. It's an homage to that scene, man.
Wow.
Yeah, there are a lot of those in Breaking Bad.
I didn't even think about that until now.
Mm-hmm. Breaking Bad is kind of a collection of those. Yeah.
Ben, you're a lot louder to me than they are. Do you think you're with you louder than that?
I'm looking to the little wiggly lines here, and it looks pretty good. It's probably just...
All right.
That's a technical term, little wiggly lines.
Yeah, yeah. Wiggly lines. Yeah, I learned that in... engineering school. I think that term at GE a lot.
Yeah. It's when we reference jet Sigma engines. Six, and
yeah. You go,
see those little wiggly lines? We're doing the right thing.
I think more wiggly lines. This one can go back. I mean, yeah.
I think my French intro might have might have confused a lot of things, but I don't think anybody has introduced themselves.
I'm Michael Dean.
So for new listeners,
this is my show. I'm Michael Dean. I built this. Me and Neil Vidotti built this, and he went off to make babies. So I replaced him. It takes a village to replace Neil Vidotti. So we got part of the village here today, and me, I've been really sick with like chronic fatal asthma and. But I'm getting better with a lot of weird treatments. I mean, doctor weird treats, but not, you know, herbs and powders. I'm going to Western medicine. Yep. All right. So
good radio
let's
there.
Go around the room. Let's go around the room. Diana. Well,
this is Diana Kyler, the laughing kitty. Meow.
And with Diana is Christian Saucier. And what am I? I'm the French dog poodle.
Chef.
Something that makes no sense like chef. That.
You make the sauces for the chef. You're like
that's right.
Chef. No, he dubbed himself the French dog poodle at Pork Fest last year.
Ah, okay. Well, good.
Oh, and I'm Ben Stone, known on the Freedom Fiends as the Bearded Possum, or out there on the inner tubes as the Bad Quaker.
Yeah,
you're actually Jack Spirko in disguise.
The anti-Jack.
I'm kidding.
Spirko.
I don't want your grandchildren to think that was you. All right. Oh, I found out that's a friend of mine that knows his IP that gets emails from him checked, and that's not him.
Oh, okay.
But he agreed with me that the guy's still a douche, so it's okay. Because he was like because he used to condemn you for being an ANCAP when he was a Constitution licker.
Yeah.
And now that he says he's an ANCAP, he's like never apologized to you. Just, you know, oh, I'm right, you're wrong. That's, you know, that puts him in the same category for me with Cantwell and Molyneux. Like, never admit you're wrong. Always be so sure you're right to the point that it seems psychotic. And then when you change your mind, you never go back and apologize to the people you flayed for believing what you believe now.
Well, he did that in a horrible scandal involving a mint company that was making silver medallions and selling them.
Oh,
and like there were
people lost money about this.
People
right?
lost literally hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions in total, but individuals lost hundreds of thousands of dollars on his word, and he never backed up and said, "Oops, I was wrong." Never once, and he filled his pockets
like
during that.
Four of those. There's like four of those in Liberty that I could name, and all of them are still like. I mean, outside of Liberty, those people would probably be, you know, if it was like biker world or if it was like, you know, black street culture, those people would be like dead at the bottom of a mine shaft or an abandoned building. But in Liberty, somehow they're like still giving parties and people are donating to them. And they're like still like, oh, well, I'm cool, man. It's all good.
Yeah, it's weird.
Libertarians are stupid. They really are, for the most part. A lot of them are. I'm not saying those people, I'm not saying kill those people. I'm saying like, they shouldn't still be
culture.
Popular,
yeah,
but they shouldn't
exactly.
still be popular and like getting donations and being authorities on finances and things.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, I think that people like Molyneux and Cantwell and others, appeal to a certain segment of society, though. and no matter the what lost. They say, or the lost sheep,
you know, who need to follow.
Yeah, and who need to follow, exactly. And no matter what they do, they're still going to, you know, endear themselves to this segment of the population.
Yeah.
So in particular, I think men who are not quite like sure of their masculinity kind of thing.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
Yes, I did go there.
You know, it says a lot,
though. Imitation of Orgy Bot on Futurama. Oh, my.
I think it does say a lot, though.
No, Hedonism Bot.
Organizations like NBC and ABC, when they have spokespeople or very, you know, public people who make really, really crazy comments or lie publicly or whatever, and then they just disappear those people and they're out, they're gone, don't come back.
They don't disappear them. Kill them and drop them down a mine shaft.
No, they hand them $10 million and send them off to their private island.
No, they don't, man. Like. I mean, what's the journalist that lied about everything? Yeah. It's still a journalist. What's his name?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but he's not on the same.
The big guy, the Brian Williams.
He's still got work, though.
Brian Williams.
Yeah, but he's not in charge of the nightly news or whatever it was that he was on. But they're out there.
They all lie.
You know, Bill O'Reilly does that constantly, and they don't call him on it. So
yeah.
Mm-mm. Oh well.
Nope.
Double standards.
Yeah, they speak to they basically are telling certain people what they want to hear.
Yeah.
And they're you know, so it's like there's enough of those kind of people that they're still able to, you know, speak that like non-truth to their non-power. I don't know where that came from.
Well, that's kind of accurate, though, because, you know, to speak truth to power creates something that can't be crushed. When people hear it, you recognize it. And when a liar just speaks and, you know, and then it comes out that it is a lie, you know, it's really harmful to people. But it's a shame not everybody recognizes it. Oh, here comes the music.
Yeah. Music! Meow, 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 meow.
Heading away to the market, but we'll be right back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Meow. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Coming at you on the radio and later over the internet. I'm Ben Stone. Michael Dean has decided to join us today, along with Diana and Christian. Michael, are you still there?
Hey.
Or did we lose Michael? Michael may have dropped off.
I'm here.
Oh, there's Michael.
I'm here.
No, he's here. Yeah,
I'm
here.
I'm conducting business, man. I'm writing.
We're all here. Stuff.
So we just listened to, what did we just listen to, Diana?
Nothing at all. Nothing. We didn't listen to anything.
We listened to a portion of your first podcast.
From 2006. Yeah, it was,
From 2006.
Deny.
It was very interesting.
Diana was blushing.
I probably was.
Christian, why don't you, you're French. You can talk about it without blushing. What was it?
Mais oui, ooh la la.
Tell us in French, in a way that could be said on the radio in French. Tell us what it was,
C'était l'enregistrement d'une interaction sexuelle avec Michael W. Dean.
Yeah, it was a married couple, but it was a very European setting. There's another person there. There's two ladies and me. And yeah, you're not old enough to live, Diana. You're only what, 46?
No, I really 39. I hate to identify 29. Myself with a number.
All right.
I really do. Yeah.
You're over 30 and you're still too young. How's that?
No, it was cool. Yeah. I'm not too square to listen to that.
Yeah, it was very, very popular. It's actually got a lot more downloads than the Freedom Fiends, and we're pretty popular for some reason.
I can't imagine why.
Got like 10,000 downloads per episode. Yeah, it's it was called Submission and Coffee with Dalai Lama, D-O-L-L-I-E-L-L-A-M-A, which was my wife's name on it. I went under the name Thorn Daddy, because I'm kind of a prick. And I don't know, we did 187 episodes. And if you go to the Freedom Fiends blog, one of the top posts, there's a link to some of it if you're old enough. You're not old enough, though. So we're going to move on. This is a family-friendly show. We can't even talk about things like that. So Liberty, talk about it, Ben.
Liberty. Yeah.
You're the leader of anarchism. I heard that.
I've been accused of that. I don't want to organize
all the entropy.
Yeah, that was a good line too.
From Kevin McKernan.
Yeah, Kevin is a great guy. I really like Kevin. Just to throw that out, there is no leader. There can't be a leader. I don't claim to be a leader. I don't claim to have any kind of special knowledge. And anybody who does should be rejected immediately. Run away from them as fast as possible. Anybody who, heaps authority or heaps, some great, they have the secret of the universe, run from them. Right.
Oh, let me tell you. Yesterday, I was watching. I was watching the news. I was watching the network news, and I haven't done that in quite a while. And it wasn't so bad. And they brought Rand Paul. So Rand Paul was on the TV, and he was doing his spiel and everything. And I have to admit that there was a slight temptation on my part to be seduced by that, by the things that Rand Paul says. And then suddenly I realized any person that desires to run for president of the United States, that desire should immediately disqualify them.
I heard a thing today, the other day, that, who sent it to me? The anarchist attorney, what's his name?
Kevin? No, yeah, not Kevin.
My friend.
Stefan.
Yeah, Stefan Kinsella sent it to me as a bad example of audio, because I'm such a stickler about good audio. He likes to torture me with bad audio. It's funny. And just because I couldn't remember his name for a second, just remember, I'm like really sick and have had like oxygen deprivation. It's not that I don't love you. It took me a second. So, he sent me this thing with Rand Paul. It's like, from official, candidate channel on YouTube. It's got the worst audio. You can barely understand what he's saying. My comment was like, does he think that having audio that bad will make him invisible to the NSA? It won't.
Maybe it's an attempt to sound hometowny.
Yeah.
I'm one of the people. I have bad audio.
No, it's beyond that. I mean, like, here's the thing. If you want to look that way, if you want to look like, yeah, I'm not this big tyrant, I'm just one of the people, you don't do it with bad video. If you have good audio, seriously, if you have good audio and kind of choppy, messed up video, it works, because audio is more important to people's perception of professionalism than video.
Yeah.
Perfect example is 80s MTV. Like when they started making shows on MTV, like 120 minutes and stuff, they would have like, they would have the on-camera talent, like, they would use like all these different cameras. They'd go sideways, they'd go black and white, they'd go blurry, but they always sounded good and it looked edgy. Mm-hmm. It was like it created a whole style that has influenced like Hollywood movies and filmmaking and commercials, that kind of grunge filmmaking style.
Right.
But and it originated really well. It came to popular view with MTV, but the audio was always good. So that's how you do that. There's a tip you can use, man. Worms.
This is Nathan Explosion.
He's trying to sound like me. Like he's sick.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been using Block It Pocket and I love it. Block It Pocket protects your cell phone, tablet, or laptop from remote tracking and data theft. I've tested it. It works. Put your cell phone inside, call from another phone, and the phone in the Block It Pocket won't ring because all signals in and out are blocked. Avoid calls and texts at the wrong moment. Keep your location private. Protect passports and credit cards. Water-resistant, hand-washable, and stylish in many designs. Go to blockitpocket.com. That's blockitpocket.com.
Meow. 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 show, the weekend correspondent of the Freedom Fiends. That's you, Ben.
That's me.
Yeah, I'm Michael Dean. Yep. So what's
and
up?
And Diana.
The Wee. Laughing Kitty.
And Christian. Yes.
Having fun right, on the radio.
We got our minds out of the gutter. Let's go back to Liberty.
Yeah. Like so I've been thinking a lot. I've been thinking a lot. Well, you know, in general, I think a lot about war. But in particular, I've been thinking a lot about war and how
what is
human
it good
beings
for?
React to war. Yeah, exactly. War, what is it good for? And war is over if you want it. since Memorial Day, I've been thinking.
You're just
going to
stay in bed
it.
Until and, it happens?
Exactly. I'm taking to my bed until war is over.
All right. Yoko.
But yeah, I've been thinking a lot about it, and one of the things that I've been thinking about is the movie American Sniper.
I'm sorry, and I called you Yoko. I take that back.
It's okay. It's not a complete insult. I mean, yeah. There's definitely
well, she aspects, was that was before but, she really like that was before she broke up the Beatles. Even you know, she was just John Lennon's weird girlfriend. Then
yeah,
go on.
So are you referring to me as her pre-Beatles?
Yeah,
break up or
yeah, yeah.
Our post.
Well, when okay. She and John were sitting in bed saying war is over if you want it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've been thinking a lot about the movie American Sniper, and I had not seen it, and I kind of refused to see it. But finally, you know, because I wanted to talk about it, and I wanted to talk about it with a little bit of authority, I decided to go ahead and watch it.
Oh,
and,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Actually didn't watch the whole thing, I must admit. But I did watch a part that I thought was really interesting, and it was in the very beginning. And it's where Chris Kyle, who is the American
also known as Christ Kyle in Florida.
Christ Kyle, yeah. I didn't realize that. He's sitting at the dinner table with his family, and his father is talking to him, and his younger brother, who was just beaten up in the playground not long before that. And Chris had come to rescue his brother and protect his brother. And his father goes into this big speech about sheep, dogs, and wolves. Ugh. And, you know, basically dividing humanity into those three categories. You know, that you have your sheep, which is kind of like most people that just want to sort of live their lives and be safe and blah, 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 blah. And then you have the sheep dogs that, or you have the wolves that are the people that prey on the sheep. You know, like, you know, serial killers and psychopaths and terrorists and et cetera. And then you have the sheepdogs who protect the sheep from the wolves. And in the movie, they kind of portray Chris Kyle as taking on the persona of the sheepdog.
You know, being a sheepdog can have really disastrous results, too. Like, Chris Cantwell was being a sheepdog when he pulled a gun, you know, like when he was filming those people the other day.
Yeah.
Basically, like when he ended up pulling a gun on some poor couple who were having an argument, who probably would have been done with it in 5 minutes anyway if he kept walking.
Right.
And he nearly got killed by the police, and he nearly killed some, you know, pretty much innocent just jerks.
Yeah.
I also resent the concept. First of all, anybody who says that human like the complexity of humanity can be divided into two or three or four, you know, like, I think there's two kinds of people. People that think there's two kinds of people and people that know better. And I think that it's a very militaristic attitude to say there's only three kinds of people. And I would say if you're going to make it that simplistic, there's got to be at least four kinds of people. And I and most of the fiends are the fourth, because I'm absolutely not a sheep. I'm not ready to be someone's meal. I'm armed. I know how to defend myself all the time. Armed all the time. So I'm not a sheep. I'm not a sheepdog. In most situations, if I saw somebody messing with somebody else, I would not intervene with force. I would probably call the police, because basically that person has the it's their fault for not being armed. Unless they're a child, that I might intervene. But like, if it's an adult who's getting aggressed on by another adult, it's like they should be armed. Why should I have to risk my life for the stranger? I'd be a hero and die.
Well, and then you don't even know what's going on. Right, you don't necessarily understand the context of what's happening.
Oh, I know. Yeah. There's, you know, I mean, if you, the classic example taught in gun training classes is, you know, you are walking through the woods, you come across a man whipping a woman who's naked tied to a tree. Do you shoot him? That could be consensual, man.
Yeah.
You know? You don't know what's going on. And, you know, a lot of times, too, like, you know, if you see somebody pulling a gun on someone about to shoot him, that could be the victim that pulled out his gun to defend himself.
Right.
You know,
right.
And the other guy had a, you know, maybe the other guy, there were two other guys, and one of them had a gun and ran away, yeah. or a knife, and the other one ran away.
Right.
And this guy is still just, you know, about to like take this guy custody, and you kill him. You don't know. So I'm not a wolf. You know, I don't prey on people. I'm not a wolf. Mm-hmm. I'm not a sheep, and I'm not a sheep dog. So I reject that belief and install my own.
You know, there are two other parties that are ignored in that argument, and that is the owner of the sheep, the shepherd or the farmer, and wild sheep. If you get among, you know, wild, like bighorn sheep, rams, and that kind of thing,
they can take care of themselves.
Yeah, they will. If a sheepdog gets near them to bite their ankles, that's a dead sheepdog. You know, I mean, it's that simple. They would just kill it.
There's a video on YouTube of one ramming a Dodge Ram. It's pretty funny. driving it out of Yellowstone. See, no one? It's awesome.
And the sheep,
I haven't seen it, but I'll definitely have to look it up.
The sheepdog is in on it with the shepherd, the farmer. They're working together. Mm-hmm. They're working together to eat the sheep, to shear them until they get too old, and then eat them.
Mm-hmm. To eat the sheep, and you know it's and really when you put it that way, if you put it that way, then some may like look at that the shepherd is actually the state.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. So so the shepherd is guiding the sheepdog, and that was going to be kind of my point, is that I think that Chris Kyle, I think that people like him, that there are many that go into the professions of being a soldier or a police officer or whatever, that may have good intentions,
quote unquote.
And we know what the road to hell is paved with.
Well,
right?
there's also a theory. Let me interrupt. I'm sorry. I have to get this out.
I know.
Then we can go on to the serious stuff that you're talking about. There is a theory I've heard from several people that Chris Kyle didn't really die. He came back, reinvented himself, and he's Chris Cantwell. That he faked his death. They look alike, man. If you like made Chris Kyle fat, he'd be Chris Cantwell. And they kind of
and lose
like
his hair guy. And everything. Yeah.
Although he'd also have to lose his like
his chin.
I kind of have a feeling that Chris Kyle, even though he's a tyrant and I don't like him, I kind of have a feeling he wouldn't muzzle sweet people.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's so trained and ingrained with that stuff. But it's a fun theory. I like it.
You know, one other thing to think about using the analogy of the sheepdog and the sheep and all that situation is that when the sheepdog gets old and can no longer serve his function, the shepherd is going to shoot him. And feed him probably back to those wolves by leaving the dead carcass out on the prairie.
Yeah. that's a very good analogy, and that's really kind of what happens.
Yeah, the government does that. They use up people, and when those people are no longer useful to the government throws them to the side with severed limbs and horrible, destroyed lives, and says, "Now fend for yourself."
You think they killed Chris Kyle?
I doubt if there was. You know, I tend to not go towards conspiracy theory, but
what's the official story? It was some like young soldier with PTSD. He was trying to help, and he took to the range.
Yeah, that's what.
I just shot him back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Do you think that guy was a Manchurian candidate or a CIA agent or anything?
You never know.
You never know, like, if Chris Kyle had some, you know, despite being painted as a hero posthumously, maybe he had some, like, crisis of conscience and was going to release some information that would have not been useful to the military.
There's really strong evidence that that is exactly what happened with that football player that was killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
It escapes me at the moment.
Yeah.
Me too.
But he had written back to his father and had said some really incriminating things that indicated that he was getting
ready to
flip. Yeah, Pat Tillman. Yeah.
Pat Tillman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, these guys were maybe, like, he was going to become an actual hero. Like, you know, our kind of hero. Like, you know.
Chelsea Manning.
What's that
type
bumper
of hero?
Sticker going down? Manning Snowden 2016. yeah, I like it.
That might be worth voting for.
I'd vote for that. I'd go back to voting for that. Maybe not really. Okay, go on. I'm sorry I'm interrupting everybody. I haven't really like been on radio in a month, Brett.
It's
much,
awesome to have you on here. I know. Gosh, I really miss you.
Yeah, and on the weekend show too. Not just slipping
and apparently
in.
Apparently, I'm sexy.
And you sound all sexy and whatnot.
I sound like I'm dying, man. I think that's what, like, now that I sound like this, I think that, and I sounded a lot worse a few weeks ago. I think that, like black metal singers like Nathan Explosion. I think they're trying to sound like they have some fatal disease.
This is Nathan Explosion.
It's kind of a Rod Stewart sound. Yeah. Like you should be doing those sexy 70s Rod Stewart songs.
Wake up, Maggie.
Oh, no. Now you ruined it for me, Ben.
Oh, no.
I've never been much of a Rod Stewart fan.
He's good 60 years ago.
Except for Maggie. I do like Maggie May. I do like that song.
The record's great. Okay, go on.
Wasn't he almost in Led Zeppelin, or was that...
Come on, guys. We're trying to talk about American hero Chris Cantwell. Pat Tillman. I think the guy is Cantwell. I think that's Chris Cantwell.
Still working for the government, eh?
Yeah, there you go. All right.
And he loves the police.
Chris Cantwell told me the other day, I hope you die. Why don't you just hurry up and die?
Wow.
Which is quite a thing to tell someone who's like dealing with a possibly fatal illness.
Why did he say that?
Because he hates me. Because I'm one of the only people who for years has called him out on his BS and am not afraid of him.
You know, what if we got a Kickstarter campaign going to buy keg?
Now, what is the Kickstarter post anything? What? You totally interrupted me. What?
What if we got a Kickstarter and bought like a keg of whiskey for him?
He'll do it on his own. No, he'll die on his own. But, I have a theory he's going to be dead in a year, and I'm actually working on a list of top 100 ways he might die. But I was working on that before.
Faces of death.
Yeah. And then maybe I'll get like Dobby to illustrate it or something. But have you noticed
that let's now take that he's the high kicked road, off people.
No, it's not. Now that he's kicked off of Free Talk Live, more people click like when anybody posts anything against him because they're not as afraid of him now because he doesn't have like as much, you know, game and as much backing. Like he's gone back to kind of being just, you know, the guy in his own like smegma stained, you know, studio apartment instead of like this international radio star.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. And he didn't build
now
that.
I'm
he
having just... images of his apartment.
All right, so go on. Talk about Chris Kyle, not Chris Cantwell.
Yeah, so Chris Kyle, so I read this you know, because I was intrigued by that whole speech in the movie, and so I Googled it and found this article from Slate.com, which I don't necessarily always appreciate their articles very much. But this one is a really good one, and it talks a lot about the history of that whole sheep, dogs, wolves thing. So, talk about it when we get back.
From our trip to the market.
Smegma.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Cat fights on the radio. The Freedom Fiends fighting cats. So for your freedom.
So you don't have to.
So you don't.
You guys hear that? You guys hear that echo?
I don't hear an echo.
Did that work?
Yeah, I don't hear an echo.
You don't? Okay. So Diana, do you have more to say about Chris Kyle before we go back to Chris Cantwell?
I have quite a bit to say, but that's okay.
All right. I just wanted to say
something
really funny really quick was that we were talking about how they had to kick Chris Cantwell off of Free Talk Live. And Ian wanted to keep him on. So like basically what happened was Cantwell, among a litany of other horrible things that he's done and been unrepentant about, called a black guy the N-word to his face on Twitter. And Mark said he was going to walk and leave Free Talk Live. You know, they've had this thing for 11 or 12 years. It's their livelihood. Mark threatens to do this about every year. With good reason, because Ian is stubborn. And Ian's the activist guy, and Mark is the business guy. And the thing is, like, you know, I think Ian's whole thing is, he wants to be the most free speech guy out there, and he's friends with Cantwell to prove a point. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I can be friends with the worst person free speech wise mm-hmm. to show that free speech is cannot be, you know, there's no limits on
and,
it.
And that's with good intent.
And I think he's, yeah, and I think mm-hmm. he's also like friends with him from kind of a like Buddhist standpoint, like love the worst enemy possible and maybe he'll become good or something. You know, I really think like Cantwell is a project for him. I don't doubt that he's actually friends. Like literally, they hang out every night still. But I think they might be getting married. I don't know. But so the thing is, like, Mark knows that word, especially like to a black guy. It wasn't on the air, but it's like people have lost like million-dollar careers over less.
Yeah.
And like they always have to apologize, and Cantwell will not apologize. And Ian's like, "Oh, he apologized for causing us problems," and he's like, "That's not the not same.
That's apologizing. A Clinton apology."
You know, oh, right, I know. Exactly. You go listen to Cantwell's podcast the next day, and he's like, basically saying, "I need more donations so I can call people the N-word on Twitter because no one will hire me now because I speak the truth and say the things that yinking," which is kind of like he's kind of. I don't know if he's racist, but he's getting a lot of followers that are racist. The same thing with Molyneux. But so Mark knows, as the business guy who like follows the trade papers, follows Talkers Magazine daily, goes to the conventions, and like, you know, Ian goes too, but Mark pays attention. And and he knows that if they put Cantwell back on, like Ian wants to. Ian says he's not gone. Mm-hmm. He's got an indefinite time out or something. And he wants to bring him back. The minute Cantwell gets back on Free Talk Live, somebody is going to organize a boycott and get all of their advertisers to stop advertising with them, and they're going to lose, you know,
yeah.
140 of their 150 stations because and Mark, I think Mark is even like using a nuclear option poison pill to make sure that happens almost, because he said three times that I've heard in the past week, and I don't even listen every day, he said like three times, like, yeah, and if somebody contacts Media Matters and gets them to organize a boycott, he's basically giving instructions on how to do nuclear option and get the show kicked off the air. That's what it sounds like to me, whether it's conscious or not. So, and you said you think Ian is going to learn hard and fast and, you know, the wrong way. He's going to learn, what did you say, shunning? Ostracism.
Ostracization.
Yeah, it's one of the concepts of ostracization economics.
It's kind of true.
Yeah. So, but I almost think, I don't know. I think Ian might be, I don't know if independently wealthy, but I almost think like he's so bold about risking the show to make a point and not compromising. I almost think he would be fine crashing and burning the show being on radio because he's got his. You know, his little network, LRN, which I love. I just took promo pictures today of me with my laptop boldly displaying my LRN bumper sticker because it's so cool. But, you know, LRN's great. It's like the best run, most professionally run, you know, streaming network I've ever heard. It's run with a show clock. Like, it's run like a radio show. I'm happy to be on it. And, you know, I think he would crash and burn the radio aspect of it and the advertising money aspect of it and simplify his life and his economics and just be on LRN
just
and
be on LRN,
10
yeah.
pirate stations
right.
To make a point. Well, I think he would. Mm-hmm.
Plus there's the martyr complex that comes into effect and where you can say, look what I did for liberty. I don't want to see Free Talk Live burning into ashes like that, though. It's doing so much
either.
Good reaching out the
I don't
way
need,
it is.
They really are. The only reason I would like to is because then we'd be the only libertarian show on the radio. That's evil, though, I would rather there be 10 more,
then
not one less. You know?
We'd have the ring.
Excellent. Excellent. All right.
I hope Ian does the right thing and keeps Cantwell off the air, man.
Yeah.
Worms.
Worms.
Because he really is Chris Kyle in disguise. That guy's no hero, man. Especially now he's burning flags. Cantwell. Chris Kyle.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Freedom Fiends, nous transmettons via le canon à ion en basse orbite du Centre de rééducation libertarien, situé tout au haut de la tour Bête des Finances, sur le satellite artificiel Parlib 2017 dans la région d'Alpha Centauri. Are we transmitting, Diana? Are yes. we transmitting, Ben? Are we transmitting, Michael?
I can feel yes, it. Oui,
oh,
oui.
Yeah.
In the space.
Well, I should also mention in French that les Freedom Fiends sont couverts par la licence BIPCOT NoGov. Celle-ci permet l'usage de ce matériel par quiconque, sauf les gouvernements. Pour en savoir plus, visitez bitcop.org. That's Bravo India Papa Charlie Oscar Tango. Org.
Okay, that's great. Although
that's awesome.
You know, usually French sounds really romantic to me. It sounds violent coming from you.
It sounded to me like the French underground was transmitting a message behind the Nazi lines.
It does, and you know, we do transmit about 5 miles into Canada on one of our Montana stations. So I think by law, you're required to now give that in English also, please.
Uh-huh.
I actually don't have the whole text in English, so I believe Ben might have to do it, or you guys have it.
I have it. All right. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through Freedom the Libertarian Fiends. Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments.
Governments.
Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I guess if I'm going to have my voice like this, I should try to sound mean and hardcore. So, except governments.
Doesn't that hurt your voice, though, to do that?
A little bit, but just talking like this isn't hurting my voice, but it probably will tonight.
And tomorrow, now you know why my French didn't sound very romantic, like a lot of French do.
Yeah. You're hardcore. Well, you got to go, like...
He's Quebecois.
You got to go put some... that's it. Yeah, it's good. You got to go put some... You got to go put some
information on the blockchain.
Some pot in the blockchain.
Yeah.
Hey, since I'm getting old and have a possibly fatal lung disease, will you help me upload my... mind into the blockchain next week, Christian?
Yeah, we'll absolutely do this. You know, the blockchain is the largest processing network of words. They're just wasting that processing
power. Let's use
power.
Namecoin. It's got a lot more free space than the Bitcoin one.
There you go.
It's got to be good for something.
And it should only take a couple of minutes.
Well, if you compress it enough. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, my thoughts are basically just, government sucks, cats are cool, I like coffee. That's my whole brain right there.
Oh, don't forget sex.
Oh, yeah, sex. Well, now that I'm like 50, I only like, you know, want to have sex like 4 times a day. I'm losing it.
Oh, no. My God.
I can still function, though. Yeah. I just only wanted to do it 4 times a day instead of today.
Only 4?
Yeah. All right, let's get out of the gutter.
Wow.
I like the gutter. Okay, go ahead.
I know the gutter's fun, isn't it?
So, Christian, Kyle, Diana.
Ugh. So I know we were like we've been sort of
okay
back
for
and forth
people who don't know
him.
Who he is. Let's recap. Not everyone knows the name. So, they know the movie, but
right. So okay. So Chris Kyle is the American sniper. Chris Kyle is actually no longer with us. He was murdered by one of the veterans that he was trying to help. I think a Marine with PTSD. Yep.
The moral of the story is don't help anyone.
Yeah, pretty much. But so in the movie, one of the very first things in the movie, it talks about how there are 3 different kinds of people in the world. There are sheep, wolves and sheepdogs. And Chris Kyle, in the movie, that is. Now, in real life, not necessarily in real life, but in his memoir, I don't really necessarily think that he identifies himself as a protector or as a sheepdog. I think he just enjoys being a warrior. But in the movie, it kind of makes him more human a little bit, and that maybe his motivation from the very beginning was that he just felt like he had this overblown sense of wanting to protect Americans from its enemies, its so-called enemies, and that's why he went to war and all this other stuff, and you know that's why he signed up. In the movie, it makes it sound like that he originally just wanted to be a cowboy, and then we were, you know, Americans or whatever were attacked overseas. And then of course 9/11 happened and it infused him with this sense of just wanting to, you know, wanting justice and wanting vengeance. And in reality, it sounds to me like he just liked killing people. And but in the movie, you know, just kind of going back to that. And also an article that I read on The Art of Not Being Governed called Open Letter to Those Who Support the Troops. And this came out last November around Veterans Day. But it just it talks a lot about how, you know, people who join the military often have the best intentions, that they really do want to sacrifice and they really do want to help people and they really want to do what's right. And what ends up happening is that they are exploited by the state to its evil purposes. And so the state takes these good intentioned people and just, you know, turns them into machines and turns them into serial killers. So I would kind of like to read a little bit from this article, if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. I really enjoyed it a lot. So this is, again, it's called Open Letter to Those Who Support the Troops, and it's from notbeinggoverned.com. It says, to the men and women who support the troops, this is my message for you. I actually do share many of your opinions of our vets. In fact, I feel that a large portion, if not a majority, of those who join the military do so with at least some, if not a great deal of intention to selflessly give of their time and efforts, and even possibly their lives for a good cause. For this reason, I see those men and women as some of the best of people among us, with perhaps some of the greatest potential for good and with a high drive to give of themselves, to help those they love, including their family or possibly even complete strangers. Most of these individuals are only doing what they believe is best for others. I truly do believe that, but I suspect where you and I differ is in how the good in those people is utilized, or to whom or to what purpose their actions truly serve. I believe that many of these vets are among the best of humanity, and it deeply saddens me to see the good in them be channeled into, as I see it, the exact opposite of what they intended. Rather than giving of themselves here at home and channeling their potential in a positive and productive manner, I believe they have been told a terrible lie and are constantly told this lie, as we all are. We're told this terrible lie and constantly told this lie till we believe it. Not me, but many in this country absolutely are constantly told this lie to the point where they believe it. And I would include myself in that as well, because I did used to believe the lie. And, you know, now I see it for what it is and I don't believe it anymore and find it, you know, repellent. And my dog keeps jumping in my lap and getting in the way of my microphone.
Live radio, people. Live radio.
Live radio. And then he goes on as TS on the website. I didn't hear that. What did you say?
Nothing. Deny.
Okay. All right. So he goes on to say, I believe that this lie, that to fight over, stop it, that to fight overseas is to serve everyone back home or to defend our freedoms and our way of life. I believe that this lie is said and repeated, even indoctrinated into us from a very young age, in order for the rulers of this nation to take advantage of them and to channel the good in these men and women in order to use them as killers and cannon fodder to advance political agendas. Yep. And, you know, it's just, I mean, I think that, you know, from watching the movie last night, I mean, I think that ties in really nicely that, you know, the way that they portrayed Chris Kyle in the movie, or the way that Clint Eastwood, who directed the movie, portrays him, is that this do-gooder that ends up, you know, like targeting and killing other human beings for what he believes to be, you know, for the good of at least America, if not humanity. And it's just disgusting. And, you know, when they show how, you know, basic training is
brainwashing,
but how basic training happens, it's brainwashing. You're being brainwashed into this cult. And I think that patriotism is brainwashing into a cult. It's the cult of you know, that, you know, yeah, we're the best country
in
the world.
People,
and,
patriotic
and, you know,
people,
and we have God on our side.
Patriotic people hate to hear this, but the natural end game of patriotism is Nazi Germany, if you want to take a historic example that didn't last, or North Korea, if you want to take a historical example that is lasting.
If you follow it to its logical conclusion, that's exactly what happens.
What, Ben?
Yeah, that's not extremism either. I mean, this is really the basis of it.
That's fact.
You know, if you actually sit down and understand what Charles Manson used to convince teenage kids to go murder strangers, it's the same tactic. It's exactly, they thought they were doing something great for humanity. They really believed in their cause. And this is the same whether we're talking about Nazis or we're talking about Napoleon's armies or it's a process.
It's a cult.
Yeah. They break down your will in basic training and they get you to think. Uh-huh. And it's not just basic training. It's the 12 years of indoctrination in government schools prior to that. It's really sad.
Yeah, absolutely. And fear is the driving force of all of this. I mean, it, you know, the other thing in this article it talks about is that, you know, that our vets are being used to increase the power and influence of our rulers and as pawns in their games, returning the favors and contributions of those who would profit from both an aggressive foreign policy and a continuous flow of quote unquote enemies to be feared.
Same as it ever was happening.
The ruling, same as it ever is. The ruling class in this nation is playing on the good as well for this country. And it's not, you know, it's not just veterans, it's all of the people in this country that quote unquote support the troops in a way that says it's okay for them to be, you know, killed for what they believe to be a noble cause, but really it's a lie. So yeah.
And that's gonna sound rough to some people.
And it's just it's the truth, and I was right there. I believed this after 9/11. I wanted to join the military, but I was too old.
Good.
Thank God. You know, it's like unless I had been like a nurse or some other, you know, because I was in my 30s at the time.
Yeah, you could have. You could have joined if you like
just to enlist.
You could have joined if you were like, you know, good at cryptography and spoke Arabic or something. But, you know,
yeah, or something like that.
You would have just been in the NSA cubicle.
Yeah, so I was right there with a lot of our listeners that I really believed the lie. I really did. And, you know, it's just, yeah, and I don't, and I haven't for quite some time, you know, and I'm really grateful for that. On the other hand, though, it does make it hard. There's this, I came across something else as I was like, you know, kind of doing a little bit of research into this. It's called The War Prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By Mark Twain. And I, you know, I read that and it is so apropos for these times as well as it probably always has been. You know, God, I have to break myself of that.
I like that Ian Freeman questions when people do that. Like, and I take it even further. I'm like, what? You got a mouse in your pocket?
Yeah.
I have a dog in my lap.
There you go. You and your dog want to join the military. Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons. And you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Coming back at you on the radio, like they used to say in the 70s, coming at you on the disco sounds on the radio. Nobody else is old enough to remember that. My fault. Yeah.
Welcome to the late night sounds of liberty. All right. We're going to get this. It's going to sound weird. Hang on. It's going to sound weird for a second. I'm doing something. All right. Keep talking. It should sound weird. Does it sound weird? Does it sound weird?
No.
No, it doesn't. Nothing right. Sounds weird. I don't
know. I'm increasing the buffers on the GCN server computer here to see if we can get a little better. There we go. All right. Should Should sound better now.
Yeah.
And for any listener,
during the break,
let me throw this out real quick.
Fiend phone.
For any listeners that are going, what are they talking about on the radio? I'm driving my kids over to the Sunday school class, and these people are
to karate at the Y, and they're after going to the Future Farmers of America meeting. What are they talking about? We're talking about free Fiend phone. It's software. Oh, go ahead, Ben. I don't have any voice left. Go ahead.
Well, that's what it is. We have a wonderful programmer, Derek Slopey, who has developed this really great program for us called Fiend phone, and we're constantly adjusting it and messing with it. It's so much better than the other products that we've tried to use, which include free stuff like what's the Skype, and we've tried to use very expensive professional equipment. And FiendPhone, for free, does the stuff we want it to do more dependably than anything else that we've tried. And we're really happy with it. So we're just playing around with the adjustments on it.
Yeah. FiendPhone.
Hey, guys, this is the French dog poodle coming back on the radio thanks to the generosity of the Freedom Fiends. I was listening to you guys talking in the previous segment. Diana was talking about how the army and all that really brainwash all the soldiers. And Ben, you made a comment about how that's just like how Marilyn Manson got like all the kids.
Charles Manson also has
a bunch of kids. Yeah, exactly.
That's okay.
We like Marilyn Manson.
Rock and roll. I actually had a beer. Actually, no, that's not true. I had a non-beer with Marilyn Manson.
Did he have one or just
way back
you?
In Montreal years ago? Well, he was, after his show, he went to a bar where I was, and he was not allowed to drink. I guess, maybe his manager was trying to control him a bit, but he had a big bodyguard next to
him. That doesn't work.
I tried to buy him a
beer. Who's the Almond brother who's still alive?
Oh.
Ben, whoever it is, used to have a bodyguards to knock the bottle out of his hands.
Yeah,
and he said like the bodyguard that was the most successful about it was a big black lady. She was the best, better than any of the dudes he had, like the big muscular dudes. Like about like she was like maternally yell at him while she knocked it. It just like froze him. He's just okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
I think that's probably why, I don't know, like there's something about an older black woman, I have to say, that they come with some authority.
It's kind of a running joke on cop shows, and I think it's kind of based on some actual, like, cultural thing. Because, like, I've seen this on The Shield and a few other places. Like, you'll have this dude that's, like, the baddest gangster black dude, like, runs the crew that murders people. And then, like... Mm-hmm. His mother comes in, and his name's like, Dead Mike or something. And like, then his mother will come in and say like, Aloysius, and start hitting him in the head. And he's like, does what she says. Like she has the power over the guy that has the power over everyone else.
Yeah. And what I was going to say is there's this book I read a few years ago called The Shack, and it's actually kind of a Christian book, but it's really good. And in the book,
actually kind of a Christian, aren't you?
Yeah, I am a Christian. But so it portrays, and when I say I am a Christian, I'm not like one of those Christians. Okay.
Well, your boyfriend's name is Christian.
You know what I mean? But he's not.
I know.
But anyway, so it's this book, and it's actually a really good book. It's called The Shack, and they portray the, the Trinity in the book as like as people. And in the book, they portray God as a black woman, an older black woman. Like God the Father is actually an older black woman.
Well, isn't that,
which I thought was kind of cool. Yeah.
There's an older black woman in The Matrix. Now, is she God or is she?
Oh yeah, she's
the Oracle. The Oracle.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's that whole that there's that wisdom aspect that kind of comes into that. So
there is an aspect of God that's like that. It's referenced in the Old Testament as God.
Sophia.
There's one that's a reference to God being like a hen mother that calls the baby chicks underneath and she comforts them.
Yeah, she broods.
Yeah.
She broods over her baby chicks, yeah. So and that's how God, he broods over us kind of thing.
Yeah.
Broods.
Yeah, broods. Kind of like worries and frets over us. And
we're about to go to the next break, but when we come back from this break, I want to have Diana read that Mark Twain.
The War Prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that is really super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's as powerful.
Nima Vadati did it before.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's as powerful today as it was back in the day when Mark Twain wrote it.
Yeah. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
So, Michael.
But, oh, yeah, war prayer. So, we've done this before, but I think we should do it every 2 years, whether we need it or not. Nima Vidati did a show with me probably 3 years ago about the war prayer. Yeah. I'll link it in the show notes. And he did a dramatic reading of it. Now, Diana's going to explain what it is and then do a dramatic reading of it. And I'm fine with doing it again because we have different listeners now. And even if it's some of the same listeners, it's been 3 years. And, you know, this week was Memorial Day. And it's also like, it's good to get this stuff, you know, people, we all have the same take on it, but different personalities and voices. That's kind of what The Fiends is all about anyway. So go ahead. Tell us, Diana.
Okay. So, I was, you know, Googling war and I was Googling, you know, just different things about, you know, the human attitudes toward war and that type of thing. And I came across this from on antiwar.com, www.antiwar.com, which I love. Yeah. The war prayer.
And the lady who runs that, Angela Keaton, is going to be a Freedom mm-hmm. Fiends co-host soon as Yay! She gets her mic. I think she just ordered her mic, so that's going to be awesome. Great.
Angela Keaton
Yeah,
rocks.
So I came across the war prayer by Martin.
Yep, and we do free ads. You'll hear an ad in this show at some point for antiwar.com. That is free. We provide that free because they're so good, we're not going to charge them for ad space. Mm-hmm.
And we rock like that. We're awesome like that. Yeah. So anyway, so this is called The War Prayer, and it was written by Samuel Clemens, also known as Mark Twain, back in 1904. And I'm a huge fan of him and his writings. He always just kind of pegged everything, and it's timeless, the types of things that he writes. And,
was he the guy that said that, like, something funny. Like, a man's liberty and money are not safe whenever Congress is in session? Wasn't that him?
He probably did say that, yeah. Okay, so here we go. The War Prayer by Mark Twain, written in 1904. It was a time of great and exalting excitement. The country was up in arms. The war was on. In every breast burned the holy fire of patriotism. The drums were beating, the bands playing, the toy pistols popping, the bunched firecrackers hissing and sputtering. On every hand and far down the receding and fading spreads of roofs and balconies, a fluttering wilderness of flags flashed in the sun. Daily, the young volunteers marched down the wide avenue, gay and fine in their new uniforms, the proud fathers and mothers and sisters and sweethearts cheering them with voices choked with happy emotion as they swung by. Nightly, the packed mass meetings listened, panting, to patriot oratory, which stirred the deepest deeps of their hearts, and which they interrupted at briefest intervals with cyclones of applause, the tears running down their cheeks the while. In the churches, the pastors preached devotion to flag and country and invoked the God of battles, beseeching his aid in our good cause, an outpouring of fervid eloquence which moved every listener. It was indeed a glad and gracious time, and the half dozen rash spirits that ventured to disapprove of the war and cast a doubt upon his strength for their sake, they quickly shrank out of sight and offended no more in that way. Sunday morning came. Next day, the battalions would leave for the front. The church was filled. The volunteers were there, their faces alight with material dreams, visions of a stern advance. The gathering momentum, the rushing charge, the flashing sabers, the flight of the foe, the tumult, the enveloping smoke, the fierce pursuit, the surrender. Then home from the war, bronzed heroes welcomed, adored, submerged in golden seas of glory.
where the volunteers sat their dear ones, proud, happy, and envied by the neighbors and friends who had no sons and brothers to send forth to the field of honor, there to win for the flag, or, failing, die the noblest of noble deaths. Service proceeded. A war chapter from the Old Testament was read. The first prayer was said. It was followed by an organ burst that shook the building. With one with that tremendous invocation, God the All-Terrible, thou who ordainest, thunder thy clarion and lightning thy sword. Then came the long prayer. None could remember the like of it for passionate pleading and moving and beautiful language. The burden of its supplication was that an ever-merciful and benignant Father of us all would watch over our noble young soldiers and aid, comfort, and encourage them in their patriotic work. Bless them, shield them in His mighty hand, make them strong and confident, invincible in the bloody onset, help them to crush the foe, grant to them and to their flag and country imperishable honor and glory. An aged stranger entered and moved with slow and noiseless step up the main aisle, his eyes fixed upon the minister, his long body clothed in a robe that reached to his feet, his head bare, his white hair descending in a frothy cataract to his shoulders, his seamy face unpale, pale even to ghastliness. With all eyes following him and wondering, he made his silent way. Without pausing, he ascended to the preacher's side and stood there, waiting. With shut lids, the preacher, unconscious of his presence, continued his moving prayer and at last finished it with the words uttered in fervent appeal. Bless our arms. Grant us the victory, O Lord, our God, Father, and protector of our land and flag. The stranger touched his arm, motioned him to step aside, which the startled minister did, and took his place. During some moments, he surveyed the spellbound audience with solemn eyes in which burned an uncanny light. Then, in a deep voice, he said, I come from the throne, bearing a message from Almighty God. The words smote the house with a shock. If the stranger perceived it, he gave no attention. He has heard the prayer of his servant, your shepherd, and grant it if such shall be your desire after I, his messenger, shall have explained to you its import. That is to say, its full import. For it is like unto many of the prayers of men, in that it asks for more than he who utters it is aware of, except he pause and think. God's servant and yours has prayed this prayer. Has he paused and taken thought? Is it one prayer? No, it is two, one uttered, the other not. Both have reached the ear of his who heareth all supplications, the spoken and the unspoken. Ponder this, keep it in mind. If you beseech a blessing upon yourself, beware, lest without intent you invoke a curse upon a neighbor at the same time. If you pray for the blessing of rain upon your crop, which needs it, by that act you are possibly praying for a curse upon some neighbor's crop, which may not need rain and can be injured by it. You have heard your servant's prayer, the uttered part of it. I am commissioned by God to put it that you fervently prayed silently. And ignorantly and unthinkingly, God grant that it was so. Grant us the victory, O Lord our God. That is sufficient. The whole of the uttered prayer is compact into those pregnant words. Elaborations were not necessary. When you have prayed for victory, you have prayed for many unmentioned results which follow victory, must follow it, cannot help but follow it. Upon the listening spirit of God the Father fell also the unspoken part of the prayer. He commandeth me to put it into words. Listen. O Lord, our Father, our young patriots, idols of our hearts, go forth to battle. Be thou near them. With them, in spirit, we also go forth from the sweet peace of our beloved firesides to smite the foe. O Lord, our God, help us to tear their soldiers to bloody shreds with our shells. Help us to cover their smiling fields with the pale forms of their patriot dead. Help us to lay waste their humble homes with a hurricane of fire. Help us to wring the hearts of their unoffending widows with unavailing grief. Help us to turn them out roofless with their little children to wander unfriended the wastes of their desolated lands in rags and hunger and thirst. Sports of the sun flames of summer and the icy winds of winter, broken in spirit, worn with travail, imploring thee for the refuge of the grave and denied it. For our sakes who adore thee, Lord, blast their hopes, blight their lives, protract their bitter pilgrimage, make heavy their steps, water their way with their tears, stain the white snow with the blood of their wounded feet. We ask it in the spirit of love, of him who is a source of love, and who is ever faithful refuge and friend of all that are sore beset and seek his aid with humble and contrite hearts. Amen. After a pause, ye have prayed it. If ye dare speak, the messenger of the Most High waits. It was believed afterward that the man was a lunatic because there was no sense in what he said. The end.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's heavy, man. Good reading, too.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, it's so true. It's like that last line, it was believed afterward that the man was a lunatic. Any people who speak the truth, I mean, it goes back, you know, in all time. It's like the prophets of old, you know, that knew what was coming. And it wasn't because they had some supernatural premonition. It was because they could see the writing on the wall. They could see what it was leading to. And they tried to warn people and they thought they were lunatics.
Are you crying, Diana?
No, why? Sound like you're crying. Does it sound like it?
It's okay.
Are you crying?
Almost want to, but yeah. No, it's all
so
good.
True. It's so true. It's just like, and it's beautiful. It's the first time I've ever read it.
Worms.
Where's Ben?
There, Ben.
Ben, are you still there?
Ben's crying. Are you crying, Ben?
Yeah.
Are you really?
Oh.
Ben feels it. I feel it too.
Ben's got the feels. Michael's got the feels.
Yeah. Wow. Aww. How long we got left, Ben?
Oh, wow. I'm smacking my microphone around here. We got about a minute until the music comes back, and then we're going to have...
For the segment? Yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll have redemption in the last act.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This show's gone by quick.
Yep. Yeah.
So thoughts, you know? I mean, it's... You know, I don't know. Obviously, Michael, you've read it and you've heard it. You know, Nima recited it before. And Ben, have you ever read it before? Besides,
you did a show on it, didn't you, Ben?
I don't think I included it on my show, but I've been aware of it for a long time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I basically what it is. Okay, it comes down like you always hear the invocations for you know, like connecting religion with warfare, like, oh,
yeah,
we gotta
exactly.
pray for our soldiers over there. Here's the thing: if you're praying for your soldiers over there, you're not just praying for them to be safe, you're praying for them to kill other people, because
right, exactly.
by the nature of warfare, they can't be safe without killing other people.
Yeah.
So you are praying to God
right.
to murder innocent strangers.
Exactly. And yeah. and it's be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because,
you know,
yeah.
Someone else is praying that on the other side too about
right. You know, oh, God, you know, and I mean, and it's not that I believe that God is on anyone's side like that, but, you know, it's just, and the thing that really got me was the whole, you know, appealing to the source of love at the end of that, you know, so.
Yeah.
Worms, y'all.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Worms, y'all! Worms, y'all!
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of lesser world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com. FeenPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Redemption in the third act. Boy, how do you come back from that, though? That's really heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And well, the sad thing is, like, and he, you know, it talks a lot in here about, like, think, you know, wake up, people, you know, think about what you're praying for. Think about what you want, you know, think about what you're, you know, what you're asking for here. You know, you're not only asking for victory, but you're asking for other innocent people to be killed.
Yeah, that's really the flip side.
It's past midnight, so it's Memorial Day's over here. If you're not in America, Memorial Day, you probably have something similar, you know, War Memorial Day, Veterans Day, mm-hmm. in your country where you sing the praises of the men who mm-hmm. killed the men from our country or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So, thank you for your service. People who do things for liberty and for good. And, you know, I like to say thank you for your service, even to, like, bakers and, you know, people that aren't military. Just, you know, I don't say it to military people. Because really, like, they get paid, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I really do. I mean, I honestly do think that many, if not most, people that get into those professions, again, you know, I said this earlier, that they do it with good intentions, you know, but, you know, it's just... The whole idea of being a sheepdog, you know, you talked about that earlier. It's just like it just doesn't work in real life. I mean, you may want to help and protect other people, but you know, at the end of the day, you could potentially be doing much more harm than good. And you know, if you don't understand the context, if you don't, you know, first of all, if you don't have those people's permission to protect them, you know, I think that's probably a really important thing. You know, is for someone to say, you know, yes, please help me, as opposed to go away and leave me alone. I can handle this myself. Which case you should go away and leave them alone.
And good intentions may be noble. Good intentions may, you know, you have. But in the long run, if your good intentions are bringing destruction to whole civilizations mm-hmm. and killing people, and this is what war does. I mean, you look back at the statistics from any particular time frame, any particular war, going all the way back into antiquity, and the civilian population always suffers far more than the actual soldiers. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but it's the absolute truth, whether you're talking about Mongol hordes coming across Asia or whether you're talking about Roman soldiers marching across France or whether you're talking about, you know, American soldiers marching across France or you're talking about Russian soldiers marching through Poland. The civilian population, 100% of the time, takes the worst of this. And, you know, there's another thing, too. Mm-hmm. The soldier that goes and makes the ultimate sacrifice and dies, he's dead, and that's it. And whatever you might think about what happens in the afterlife or whatever, that's all theoretical. The soldier is dead. But back home, he leaves his brothers and his sisters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that the only way that people can really, you know, justify that is by believing that in some ways it was noble. It was like in some ways he was sacrificing himself for his country. And that's the other lie that we're supposed to believe. And, you know, I admire Cindy Sheehan for calling that out. I mean, I know she's been demonized a lot, but she didn't believe
she's
the lie.
She's one of my favorite leftists. Yeah. Her and Glenn Greenwald. I hate leftists, but you know why I'm not crying is because my stepson is in the army. And he's kind of like turning into a lifer. Like he's become a sergeant, like faster than people usually do. And he's moving up. And like, I think he's going to be in there until, you know, whatever. But I don't even want to like wrap my head around this. That's why I can't cry about it right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, you know, because I don't have a personal, I didn't invest anything. I'm invested without having invested anything, I guess, you know. And it's kind of weird because he was someone that was like really anti-war. Like he used to listen to punk rock bands like Crass and like wear t-shirts about the absurdity of war. And really it was like basically, you know, they've collapsed the economy to the point where like even someone doing semi-skilled work can't make a living. So they end up joining the army, man.
Right, right.
It's the poverty draft.
The poverty draft, yeah.
All right, it's been a good show, y'all. Happy Memorial Day. Thank you guys for your service in liberty.
Thank you. I'm so glad you joined us.
Thank you, man. Michael.
Could be that.
For now. Be on a show with you.
I probably can't do this every day for a while at all. Like once a week maybe, because I'm not gonna be able to talk tomorrow. But worms.
Love you.
Thanks,
guys.
Christian.
Worms.
For the
love you guys too.
Thanks, Christian, for the French translation.
He says bienvenue.
It's always a pleasure to be on the
worms.
Show.
Worms!
Lung butter.
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow, 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 meow.
Meow. Kitty, kitty, kitty.